So I was saying today we could continue with the qualities of the Sankirtan devotee, and we could also blend in some realization from other devotees, since actually Sankirtan, to speak about Sankirtan becomes very nice if more devotees throw in their own realizations. So as we mentioned yesterday, Sankirtan is part of, or is the essence of Krishna consciousness. Sankirtan devotee means a devotee who actually understood the meaning or the importance of fulfilling the desire of a spiritual master, which is nothing else as a transmitted desire of Krishna himself. So this is actually a very essential point, that the inspiration of Sankirtan is derived from satisfying Krishna. Now in a material world, every one of us is more or less fond only of one thing, and it is satisfy ourselves. So our own desires are playing the most important part in our lives. Me and my, this ahankara or this false ego is always pushing us into that concept, and is also shaping our vision accordingly. Yeah? We are perceiving things only in a pursuit or in a how actually these things are going to be beneficial for me. Now from that point of view, Sankirtan doesn't make any sense, because there is no sign of external benefit if we are makes a decision to go in Sankirtan. We are not benefiting from that really externally. Finally, we are experiencing mostly the pain of austerity. Austerity means to do something we actually wouldn't like to do, but we do it anyway for the satisfaction of Krishna and the spiritual master. So sometimes austerity in itself can be even harmful to Krishna consciousness, because sometimes we concoct our own austerities. Sometimes it is austerity to eat. Sometimes in austerity to fast. Like we honor Krishna's prasadam, like on Janmasthami we fast the whole day and then we take a feast. This is both austerity. Yeah, so austerity to fast and austerity to take a feast. So similarly, on Sankirtan, it appears like it is very austere from the beginning, but actually, by those who practice it with the whole heart, they realize it's actually very pleasant. Actually, anyone who is absorbed in that service cannot understand why other people speak about austerity. Yeah, maybe physically. Yeah, physically we experience. But actually, if you sit the whole day, let's say, in a table, like in a BBT, so they translate, this is also very austere. And, you know, there are other services which are physically austere, even we are not running the whole day around. Sankirtan provides a wonderful opportunity that we can follow in the footsteps of Maharaj Ambarish, and we can engage everything in the service of the mission of the spiritual master. Like Maharaj Ambarish, he engaged all his senses, the whole body was fully absorbed in devotional service. The Sankirtan provides a similar, you know, opportunity. We can actually very easily, we can absorb ourselves. The legs are walking from one person to another. The hands are handing out the books. The eyes are looking for the next person. Yeah. Who can take a book? The ears are engaged of hearing what we are talking about. Yeah. The tongue is vibrating the Hare Krishna mantra and sometimes the other, you know, mantra in between. Yeah. And the mind is engaged to thinking. Yeah. Remembering actually the instruction of the spiritual master. The intelligence is engaged. How can we find out a better place to distribute, or to whom to go and how to go? Yeah. And only so, of course, we cannot engage as a false ego. This is get to be kicked out. But unfortunately, our conditioned state is the only thing which is strong about us. Everything else is weak. The weak intelligence, weak senses, but the only thing we have is strong, the false ego. This is really strong. And as Kali Yuga goes on, it becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. So that's maybe the problem. That cannot be a part of our Sankirtan, the false ego, which tells us, what are you doing here? You don't have to be humiliated like that. You don't have to be tortured like that. Why don't you do something more pleasant for you? So this is a problem, actually. Therefore, Sangitam requires certainly a great deal of sincerity, as any other service and devotional service. Today also it would be very nice to mention a little bit the relationship between Sangitam, between what we call book distribution, and other services. Because we can see sometimes, specifically throughout the years, this creates a little bit discrepancy on the part of a dedicated Sangitam devotee. Because that service, Sangitam in itself, is so absorbing. And it's very demanding service, certainly. So, and it's very intimate service, so it may create a somewhat exclusive attitude on the part of the devotee, which make him actually sometimes look down upon other devotees which are not engaged in that mission, which are not engaged in that particular activity. Srila Prabhupada gave a heavy warning in this regard. In one lecture said, don't think that there is something, you know, superior to you. That he is sweeping the floor, I am distributing the books. Yeah. There may be that, you know, while we are sweeping the floor, certainly we are not so much demand, there is not so much demand to surrender our intelligence, our mind, and our false ego. Basically we can sweep the floor and still think we are God. Probably it's okay. Maybe we step in a bucket, you know, while we walk backwards. But maybe it's not such a great damage either. So it's not such a big thing. Whereby on the street, as soon as you start to sing, actually, you are God, you are in danger. Sometimes even physically. Because there are so many other gods out there, you know. And they are all gods. And they don't like another god in a, you know, in a whole club. So they immediately give you a hard time. So that's actually a great protection in that regard. We immediately become aware of our false ego, our pride. But still, Krishna sees more what we are hiding. That's what we are giving. Krishna is very much aware, he is dwelling in our heart, and he sees very clearly what are we actually hiding. So now, if that activity, Sangitan, results in that fact that we feel somewhat dominating the others in a very proud way, then there is something wrong. We misunderstood actually the whole goal of the Sangitan. Rather, if Sangitan devotee, because he is so satisfied in his service, and it's such a blissful service, and it's such a, you know, ecstatic service, that ecstasy should automatically, you know, be transparent to others. That's generally how one becomes a devotee. I remember we had this unique institution in Germany which was called the Bhakta program. I don't know if nowadays it still exists, but, you know, it was such a wonderful thing. A new devotee who came, new devotee who was engaged in a Bhakta program under the guidance of a Bhakta leader, they had always a unique opportunity Saturday night to, you know, come and see the Sangitan coming back, you know, which was usually, those times we used to have like around 50 Sangitan devotees. So that was like the roaring wave of ecstasy rolling in the door, and we had a kirtans which start always Saturday night somewhere around 9 o'clock and end up midnight. It was like, you know, non-stop. And then the new ones, they came out from the Bhakta room and they were watching. And then the Bhakta leader was encouraging them that actually, yes, you can join in. Yeah? And actually, we had the most fantastic Bhakta leader you could imagine, Bhakti Bhushana Maharaj, maybe some of them, you know him. Those times, it was a Chandragas Brahmachari. So, a very wonderful Bhakta leader who always educate these bhaktas to such a point that they were just greedy after Sangitan. And he never let them out. He always told them, okay, that was a kirtan, that was, you see how happy they are, now you go back and tomorrow we are going to washing the pots again. And it came to a point where they just couldn't stand it anymore. They were begging, can I go next week too? And he goes, 1 week more, you know. You know, it's very important to wash these pots. And they were, you know, and they were really eager. And actually on the part of the Sankirtan devotees, it wasn't even that attitude like, you know, like, what are you doing in the kitchen washing the pots? You know, you have to do some real thing for real people, you know. It wasn't really there. It was just simply the bliss and the satisfaction and the ecstasy which emanated from them, which made the Sankirtan so attractive. So this is a little bit kind of point which I don't want to really expand too much, but actually, fact, if you want to inspire somebody of Sankirtan, first of all, we have to do it. And the other thing is we have to be happy with it. Otherwise, how people are going to join something? Nobody wants samdraya austerity. Yeah? Nobody wants to go out and suffer the whole day. Maybe you can tell him, and you become purified by suffering and suffering and suffering. That is not extremely palatable, you know, for... No, actually, sangha is not that kind of suffering. It's actually very blissful. Now, you may calculate, how can it be blissful? Because I go out and then I will go, no, I don't want this. Get out of here. So that's not very blissful. But, you know, it is still blissful because of what? So what? Just imagine you are sitting in a factory, in an office. That may be sometimes a problem because most of the devotees didn't have the experience that it means to sit in some office and having some boss coming in who gives you a hard time and you cannot get out of there because, you know, he's paying you and you have to tolerate this insult and this unpleasant circumstance because you want that money. And that very same money which you earned in such a hard way, you will simply spend for the temporary satisfaction of your senses. And at the end, you end up completely cheated with nothing. Now, as a devotee, we may be exposed to unpleasant circumstance, but what did we got? Huh? Maybe not the money, but we got the bliss, we got the satisfaction from that. And if somebody is nasty and he goes, you know, this is not allowed what you are doing here, you're okay, oh yes, thank you very much for the advice, bye-bye. And you go to the next one. No problem. Huh? We are the only actually movement which is engaging people in a completely voluntary platform. There is no charge, there is no penalty, you know, there is no minimizing of salary, you know. Yeah. This is actually a real freedom. That freedom sometimes is not really evaluated enough by devotees. They don't see the alternative. What did you got? Of course, this, you know, Scandinavian social welfare societies, they are ruining everything by giving you the impression that we take care of you anyway, even you are lazy bum. We can anyway, we will give you some money. But this is also a false shelter. This is certainly very temporary. Yeah. So the real shelter can be found under the protection of the instruction of the spiritual master. So, one of the qualities of the, you know, of the devotee is that he is simply surrendered to Krishna. He is simply depending on Krishna. Knowing very well that Krishna is present in the heart of every living entity. Therefore, this realization, at least theoretically, we can remember that Krishna is situated in everyone's heart. And in this way, what is the problem to approach people? Actually, we don't approach people, we approach Krishna. My dear Krishna, please, I would like to serve you. Yeah? And he is a conditioned soul, I would like to give him the book. Now, you are in his heart. Now, he doesn't want that book. But I have the desire to give him the book. You want him to take the book. So, it is you actually sincere surrender to that super soul, to the Krishna, which makes the person suddenly inspired. You know, Sangitani was an experience. If you have really sincere desire, suddenly, completely out of nothing, you see how suddenly something happens in his mind. Just from one second to another, boom, and he goes, okay, I want this. Yeah, this is victory. Yeah. And even for these few seconds, you see how happy he is. This is the first taste for most of the people. The first after millions and millions and millions of lifetimes in various species. Suddenly he is there meeting the Sankirtani body, experiencing first time this very unique taste. They don't usually know what it is. They even don't know they are happy. They are suddenly very happy, you know, and you know, and then the mind comes back and suddenly they go, what have I done, you know? I don't read books really, you know. So therefore, once again, Sankirtan is difficult to explain on a rational platform. Even we don't know sometimes how happy we are. Sometimes you sit in a Sankirtan and you think, I have so many problems. You know, I know my tape recorder broke down. I have no new batteries for my tape recorder. Such a problem. And you know, and I feel like catching some cold and this is very horrible, this world. It's very miserable, you know. But you know, this is what we mentioned yesterday. If you look out of that window of the Sankirtan and you see these people, just look at them. For them, they have other problems as just that they don't have the batteries for their tape recorder. Their problem is this incredible problem because they think that they can become happy by, you know, through the bodily pleasure. And nobody ever became happy in the history of mankind and they are trying anyway. Yeah? Sometimes Sankirtan is so nice, you get this life lessons. I remember once a man, he was driving on a little moped, you know, in a little bike. And he was like a little bit old and a little bit fat, and he just drove on his bike. So I just stopped him and showed him the book, and he was going, "Bah, I don't need this." You know, and then he drove off. A few minutes later, we got in a car and we drove in the middle of the day to another town to distribute books. And on the way, suddenly there was a, you know, big pile of people and police and ambulance and everything. Then I saw the very same man lying there on the street, finished. He wasn't completely finished. He was just about to be finished. So we rolled down the window and going, "Hare Krishna!" Just maybe he heard something in the last minute. In 1 second, everything can be over. It's so instructive. So instructive. How this pleasure and pain change. This is not like we go in Sangitam, we are blind. You see things daily. And since you are engaged in such a nice service, Krishna gives you immediately the, you know, the proper intelligence behind. Sometimes one thinks, "Well, I would like to stay in a temple because there is Krishna. Outside is no Krishna." But actually, specifically for Sangitani, he has a little bit of faith. That's required, some faith. Then Krishna immediately responds back. How much he is taking care of his Sangitani devotee. Otherwise, how is it possible? Devotees traveling out there, sometimes specifically like in past Scandinavian countries here, they go for months out there. You know, how is it possible? Usually a normal, you know, ideal facility to fall down. Yeah. After some time, you know, out there alone in the woods, you know, where, you know, time to time there is an elk walking through, and time to time there is a lady walking through, and that's the only thing you see for 3 months. Not so many people, not so much going on. Yeah. So that's very easy to become very silent and more silent. And in the morning you chant only Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and then you think more and chant less. That's how it happens. This is here out. If you let in Germany devotees out for a few weeks, they come back like a bunch of rowdies. You know, they come back rowing. And they talk only about demons. You know, and then I told them, "This book is not for free." You know, and they come like after 3 months, like they're traveling. They say, "Well, it's important." They come away to the temple and you go, "Prabhu, this Hare Bol, Hare Krishna, Atik, Kirtan." And then you go, "Yeah, Kirtan, yeah, Artic." "But I told him this book is not for free." So you have to cool down from this defense attitude, and after going through one Sunday feast and this, and then you eat prasam, you're again happy, you can go out again. Here around the danger is a different one. Here around the danger is they become completely silent. Until you realize that, you know, that say someone sitting in the back of the car, you know, used to be a Sangitan devotee, and he's like completely dried out already. You touch him and you can push the finger through, you know. Just he, you know, he became one with the caravan. So this is the danger around here. So anyway, self-association with devotees is so essential. And self-sangitan is very important. And actually it's very blissful if Sangitan identifies itself with a particular temple. And derives the pleasure from preaching also in the temple on Sunday feast. Like example that. That should be actually there, this balance. Otherwise we are running in danger that, as one devotee told me very nicely, and that shaped me a little bit up. He told me, "You are like a one-way grown, like a tree, you know, which grows in one way. You know, it's just one branch growing out, big branch. But the rest is, you know what happens to such a tree, you know. Yeah, it can very easily fall over." So we have to be careful, say for this kind of seminaries and this kind of you know, study circles, yeah, are very beneficial. Even in the first moment we may think, okay, after that I'm on the street, and the first day you have to a little bit realize that this is not Panchatantra who is walking around me here, somebody else. But this is natural, that goes away again, this is not the problem, but actually the benefit derived from such a educational atmosphere is more long term. And that's finally what's more important. You know, we can have, as you know, the various comets in the sky, you know, going and yeah, we had so many of these. But Srila Prabhupada always spoke about, you know, moons. He says, "There are so many stars in the sky, but what are the moons?" Actually, a devotee wants to be steady in any kind of service. That's where we meet the real challenge. Because Sangitan, you know, in the beginning, it's very exciting, something new. in the beginning we don't have a faith that actually they could actually take that, you know. But somehow the devotees told us we must do that, so we just kind of try. And suddenly we realize, I can do it too. Far out. I remember my motivation when going on Sangitam was purely social. I was totally eager that devotees, you know, devotees accept me as a devotee. I always ask them, can I become a devotee? And they said, yeah, sure, just go on Sangitam. Everything is, you know, very easy. So, and then I realized as much I distribute, as much happy they are with me. It was a very pleasing feeling. It was extremely, it was almost intoxicating. I went on Sunday to the temple president and asked him, can I stay 1 week more here? And he was going, guys like you, we need. You know, and I was, that was, you know, but of course we can understand that's not very, you know, rational, not very deep intellectual motivation. That goes away, even the temple president went away. And then what? Yeah. So, therefore, the motivation actually to do that must come more and more from deeper sources. And that's actually the test any Sangitani will go through. Year after year, we are digging in deeper and deeper in our own contaminations. You know, the famous example of boiling the ghee. You know, if you boil the ghee, then so much impurities come from this seemingly clear butter. You know, yeah. You wouldn't suspect actually there's so much dirt in that. You melt the butter, it's quite okay. But you keep on warming it up, and suddenly some dirty foam comes up. You are wondering, where is it? Then you take it down, and then there's more coming. You go, where came this from? And you take it down, and there's more coming. So Sangitan is something like that, and as intense we perform that, well, as much more dirt is coming up. Therefore, sometimes they think, in the beginning I was so normal, and I was so peaceful. Now I am so crazy. What happened? Well, they are not more crazy, they are always crazy. But now it's becoming more obvious. And we are becoming more aware of this. Therefore, sometimes the Sangitan devotees speak about impurities. Well, it's actually quite a fun, you know, in comparison that, because a real impurity is saying that you have no impurity. That's a real impurity. You know, what's the problem? You know. Yeah. But the Sangitan devotee, he is aware, wow, as he goes down the coal mine of his heart, you know, down, down, down through the layers of dirt, he has a darshan of the impurities. Every week another one. Every week he hits another level. Yeah. And Krishna recommends or asks him, why don't you take this out? Just throw it out. And he goes, wow, this is my coal. I acquire so much coal, so much dirt throughout the, you know, throughout the years and birth after birth, so much dirt acquired. So sometimes we don't want to see it anymore. We don't want to see the reality. We don't want to see the coal mine. We just go up on the surface, we close the door, and we go, I want to do something else. Not Sankirtan. Because I don't want to go every week down there and look how dirty I am. Actually, I'm not so dirty. You know, and we put on some designation, some sign, you know, with some big letters on it. You know, there are various signs Maya can supply. And there are also various designations. We assume certainly also in Krishna consciousness because we are managing, so we have a particular designation. But we cannot take the designation, put it in front of our face and go, you know, everything all right. Sometimes we think that this driving up and down the coal mine can be very easily stopped just by holding on some sign. Yeah. But we may do that. We have the freedom. But still, the dirt which we forgot to clarify and unload, you know, is going to trouble us very much. Therefore, it's so important to go on Sangitam. Therefore, specifically in the beginning, you know, to get through the gross layers down, to shiver the gross thing down. Generally, it's a rule that whoever doesn't go through this training is experiencing great difficulty later on. Because these loads of dirt are going to give us trouble in any service we perform. Actually, if one is really trained up on Sangitam, whatever service one does later on, it's actually, one, this is just like an extension of Sangitam. If you don't see it actually in connection to that, then actually, quite frankly, what is the use of what we are doing? Yeah. Like we saw just from this festival, you know, there is already one devotee joining. Just fired up. Just sitting here and seeing this devotee is far out. So the next question is, he goes in Sankirtan, that's all. It's very simple. Just by this, you know. You don't have to preach that. You have to go on Sankirtan. It should be actually, if we have to do that, it's quite embarrassing. It should be a natural, you know, natural outcome of our activities. Otherwise, what else do we want to do? Then, as one Vishnu Pat mentioned, there is this hell, which is called this planet, hellish planet, which is called the planet of maintenance. You know, the maintenance planet. Where you just maintain things, you keep them, and they always fall down, and you maintain them again. This is like a hellish circumstance, you know. Otherwise, we are just maintaining some institution and some operation for the sake of maintenance. It's a self-defeating purpose. So therefore, in any field of our activity, if you don't have this attention to bring people to Krishna consciousness and train them up in the frame of the mission of spiritual master, if you don't have the time for this and you cannot pay attention to that, then... And that applies to a Sankirtan devotee, of course. If a Sankirtan devotee becomes so separatistic that he's even lazy to go to a, you know, on a Sunday feast to a person, preach to him and, you know, and illuminate him in Krishna consciousness, then he probably doesn't understand very much what is he doing on the street. Sankirtan becomes simply a routine. And that's a dangerous thing about all, specifically for the older devotees. After the exciting period, then comes a period of duty. Yeah? Then the duty, of course, is a blissful duty, but still, it can turn into a routine. Then you've got these old Sankirtan routineers, you know, they go, I know this town, I know this parking lot, and I know the books, and but then our attention is not completely fixed. We don't understand the depth of that activity. It becomes more and more superficial, and in this way dissatisfactory. And then naturally, because we are all looking for some taste, we are looking for something else. Huh? And Maya is immediately out there offering us so many, many branched, you know, things, you know. Yeah. And we are losing our simplicity, we are losing our attention, our concentration, and we are finally carried more and more away, you know, in some shallow waters, and finally Maya just throws you just on the land, just some desert. That's all. And this can be, of course, prevented if we have a very, very close attention. First of all, we are fixing on the mission of a spiritual master. Everything should be seen in that frame. Srila Prabhupada gave us a mission. He gave us, you know, he didn't create a, you know, a church movement for pious people coming together and confessing their sins on Sunday. You know, that wasn't his attention. You know, that's certainly a glorious attempt, you know, in comparison to the millions of other people which don't do even that. But Prabhupada didn't give us a movement. It's actually a Sankirtan movement, preaching movement. Now, preaching can be conducted in any way. You know, certainly. Yeah. Sometimes you see a right motivated temple cleaner, you know, he lasts actually longer as a puffed up Sankirtan devotee. I know it's heavy to say something in a Sankirtan meeting like that, but you know, because the motivation, that's what counts. Sometimes you see devotees being highly disabled or physically disabled do that Sankirtan service, but they are just happy to feed others with prasadam. Happy to give people Krishna. This is a basic attitude which Prabhupada wanted us all to assume. That happiness, you know, you see somebody, he's taking Krishna, far out. Therefore, you see always in this preaching and Sankirtan meetings, actually it comes all to the same platform. You know, like I noticed, it's such a mystery called Namahata and this. It utterly culminates into Sankirtan, and Sankirtan culminates into that. It's one thing goes in another. I saw in Berlin, the Namahatis, you know, buying books on Christmas marathon. They just buy books, they collect, they work, they have jobs, and then they buy books, and then they go out and distribute them. And they, you know, and then usually, you know, someone like Rohini Sutta, he travels in between, and he starts to distribute his books in front of them, and then they get through, you know. Sometimes they don't go back anymore to the work, they just stay Sankirtan devotees. So they think, why should I go back to factory work, buy these books, and then distribute them? I can distribute them right away. What is the problem? Yeah. So, therefore the attitude and the mentality, that's what counts. And that should never get lost. We have to be on guard on Sankirtan. Because sometimes we think we are on Sankirtan. But are we really? In our heart, maybe, we are already completely sometimes. You know, in our mind, we build up all the accustomed dreams. And our false ego is making us to hanker that we cannot actually really realize that castle of dreams. Such a devotee becomes very easily angry on the street. This that is why. Because, you know, you think, well, these people are disturbing my dreams. One has to learn how to like these people, actually. Actually, they are part of our Sankirtan. Just imagine there will be no karmis. You know? To whom would we actually distribute the books? Of course, we can do it to each other, but, you know, it's not that funny. Yeah? Actually, they are nice. They are participating in our mission. And Krishna is using them, actually teaching them through us. Like I remember once on the street, you know, Ikami, you know, came to me, and he was going, I was speaking to him, trying to give him a book, and he just completely didn't relate to me. And then he said, can you speak a little bit louder? I don't know what you're talking about. So the first movement I had was, what does he think what he is? To tell me but how I should distribute books. I'm doing it since years, I know. But then I realized, he's probably right. I don't speak loud enough because I'm so tired. So I just, you know, unknowingly I just went down with the volume to such a degree he couldn't even speak what I am. So Krishna immediately encouraging me. Hey, you go like this. Or just sometimes, you know, it happens to anybody probably. Sometimes you are so tired, you're on a seat standing on a corner, you know, you don't know how to move further. And it happened very often, you know, in Germany. A completely strange person coming around the corner and going, you know, oh, good faith, let's going, you know. You can do it. And then he goes away again, you know, and you go, thank you very much, and you keep on going. You know, actually if you observe, there are so many signs how to distribute, if you are aware of them. If you have that faith that Krishna is present in everybody's heart, there are so many signs from other Vaishnavas. First of all, the spiritual master is instructing us. We have Srila Prabhupada's books as an instruction. Then, we have, you know, other Vaishnavas around. Protected from Sanyadana. You know? And you don't pay attention to the external things. You know? I remember the first day we had a marathon with 100 books. That was like Krishna books, those times we distributed. We were going for 100 books. So already 5 o'clock in the afternoon, we had 100 books. I remember it was a little town, me and Rohini Sudhana. So we were going, wow, maybe we can do 120. You know, then we were going for 120. And 1 hour later, we had 120. Then we were going, wow, maybe we can go 130. And it was just 6 o'clock when all the shops closed in Germany, and it's pretty radical, because they close from 1 minute to another. Then I had 148, I remember. And I was saying, 2 books more. 150, that sounds much better. You know? And of course, in that moment, this is this touchy moment, you know, that the false ego guest goes, you know, you can do it, you are big, just get yourself going. You know? And then inside, as a devotee, you start to laugh, you know. Again, Mr. False Ego, I would say. Because, you know, if you blow yourself up now, then these 2 books will take you 2 days to distribute. So better you don't do it. So the intelligence is screaming, don't get puffed up, take it easy. You know, Hare Krishna. Krishna, don't make me puffed up again, please. There's this monster of false ego, doesn't stop even after 140 books. It's still there, waiting to devour me. It's a very subtle thing, you know, this struggle where you just pray, don't, not puffed up now. Yeah? Actually, I want to distribute these 2 books for you. For you, Krishna, that's all. Then you try. And then there was nobody there. I remember still this empty marketplace. There was nobody. The last car drove away and then it was empty. I was so desperate. And then just, I was going, okay, doesn't work, alright. There's only way to the car. Suddenly, you know, 2 drunkards came from the bar, just rolled out of the door. And they were... Then I was saying, well, it's only 2 people which are here. Let's try them. So I just went to them, usually don't do that, but, you know, and they were going, oh, and suddenly they were completely normal. And then they just, okay, how much? And they bought this, and then they had this book, and then, you know, everybody took one, and then they turned around and they were going, oh, you know, like, going, you know, back and forth, you know, with these 2 books in their hand. It was such a realization, so Krishna just goes, okay, 2 books more, all right. And still, I remember those days, you come to the van, you sit in a car. I remember Rohini, he came in a car. And we were completely silent. We were just looking at each other. Because then you realize, how far away actually you are still from that real goal to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books purely. How far away actually. But how wonderful it would be if I would be a pure devotee. And I could distribute these books to everybody. And then you realize, how much contamination is there actually in between, which is separating us from the real fact. Like Srila Prabhupada said to one devotee, you can actually distribute books to everybody. There's a possibility, there's a platform actually, we can almost distribute books to everybody. Because people feel that spiritual shelter which is emanating from a devotee. This is, of course, sounds a little bit esoteric, but this is actually a very high goals which we actually work on. Sangita is actually a great educational department. Lots of things to learn. Sometimes it's presented like the, you know, the causeless ecstasy. Yeah. Well, it is certainly there. Without the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, how can we be happy in such a hellish circumstance? Yeah? It's not possible. But still, on our part, some educational thing is required. It's called education in the heart. You study actually the position of your heart daily. It's a test every day. How puffed I am, how proud I am, how attacked I am by the modes of material nature. Expert Sangitani, he goes out in the morning and he knows, modes of passion come in here. And he goes, modes of ignorance. And it's changing every day. You know, it's like going up and down, up and down. You know, morning you start quite normal, middle of the day you are quite passionate. And the evening you may be completely, completely ignorant, finished. Yeah. But this is how the modes of material nature act upon us. And you realize how the people are. Actually, people sometimes they are so crazy. I mean, here you don't see it so much, but if you distribute books in Germany or something like that, you would see people are so crazy during the day. If you would that same person make a film out of him and play it to him in the evening after he comes home, he wouldn't believe it, it's him. You know, he wouldn't believe it. He is so insane. People punching each other in the noses just because they, you know, there's a parking lot not free or these kind of things. You know, this is non-stop happening. You know, and you are in the middle of the whole thing. It's very difficult not to be attacked by these similar modes of nature. Yeah? So a devotee, he knows this person is more of ignorance, this person is the mode of goodness, and he is the mode of passion. And he approaches him accordingly, you know. A passionate person, he will just go, sometimes we did it, you know, you know, thank you very much, And then you stop and you go to the next one. Good morning. You know, a devotee, he actually knows that his body is like an outfit. It's like a suit, you know. And you can use it for any purpose. There are whole towns which are packed in different modes of nature. You know, even in Sweden, you know, which basically is a mode of ignorance, but anyway. You know, there are still differences, varieties, you know, in mounds. But I remember in Germany, like, if you travel down from the north to the south, it's a completely change of modes of nature you travel down. You know, and each single town is a particular mode. I always, in the beginning, the new devotees, I told them, today we are in this town, so watch out. You know, they are like this. You know. And then they knew already, aha. Like in Germany, there's a town, which is just like a casino, you know. It's just like Monte Carlo. And everybody walks like, you know. So you have to distribute like this, you go, you know, good morning, miss, can I offer you a book? Like these guys in the hotel, you know, thank you. Yeah. Then there's another town where they walk over like woodcutters, you know. Then you have to go, you know. They go, it's for strong people. And they go, yeah, sounds like this. Now, for us, the devotees, we have nothing to do with the theatre. We are just devotees. Inside, we are still remember Krishna, which is Hare Krishna. But therefore, yesterday we had this discussion a little bit about the attitude, you know, like preach more straightforward. I was not at all opposing that, but my point was that whenever I saw devotees getting into this, somehow they got very stiff, you know. They become like this, you know, like, I don't want to offend anybody, but like the witness of Jehovah, they become like this, you know. They become like, you know, we are coming from the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's very serious now. Become serious, you fool. And of course, usually there's a little success in such an activity. And you become very frustrated. Now, this is somewhat a little bit, this is a bit like kind of, you know, coming from the bodily department, that you make a concept, and then you demand, this is my concept of distribution. But actually, Sankirtan is based simply on surrender. As we couldn't perceive a few years ago, we become devotees like this, looking like this. So as we cannot perceive, we cannot have any concept before we go on the street. Difficult. It's very harmful if you have actually a real concept. I will be like this. Yeah? Well, who cares how you are going to be? The major thing is, we surrender to Krishna, we remember Krishna, we remember the instruction of spiritual master, and we do anything to save this conditioned soul. Of course, it has to be in a frame of, you know, moral and somewhat social behavior. But usually, as any devotee I see distributing on the street, actually somewhat he is crazy, you know. I never saw a distributed really devotee in a any, I mean, I can go now through the old ones, but I don't want to embarrass them, you know. It's also a little bit new that we're distributing on the street, you know. This is, you will be amazed. Everybody is different. And what they do is, from the external point of view, you know, weird sometimes. You know. Can I get into it? Yeah, a little bit? Just a few? No, he says no, because he knows I'm going to get on him. At least start with him. Okay, Premanava. Now, why people take books from him is, first of all, because he likes to distribute books. Another thing is, because they feel completely saved. You know, they feel like, you know, they feel like, you know, like you take a baby and you put it in a basket and you go, this is like the attitude they are in. Big commies, I saw it. Big fat guy coming from the Volvo, and they go, oh, no. And Premanava, he completely just, you know, like a spider, he just completely, you know, puts them into this net and they go, and they feel completely at home. They go, And then the books go automatically. Then they have the books, you know, and they go, And then he goes away with his, you know, with his honey smile, and he goes to another one, and they still stand there, and they go, oh, what happened here? Okay, let's go home now. Completely different. You take Ashura, it's completely different. This is like, you know, he's like a general on the street. You know, he goes, stop. This is, you know, we are the sober people. This is only for sober people. Here. And he's very serious, you know. And he's very, they feel, finally, some moral is coming in this country. Swedish laws are protected. This is finally, you know. They feel like exactly like, you know, like finally some police coming and giving them shelter, you know, and they feel really confident, you know, that this is a real thing, you know, yeah. And then there was another one, he was really extreme, our, you know, the little guys are little him. He is just, you know, before they know what's going on, he's already gone. It goes even to a degree, sometimes they say, there was a little lady here and she gave me such a nice look. It's not made up, you know. They don't even know it's male, female, nothing. It's just it's gone, you know. They are different ones. I mean, so far I remember, I don't know so many actually nowadays. There's most new devotees. You know, I was very few devotees. I was out in Germany. I know still quite somebody, you know. Everybody is different. Everybody. I remember myself. I went out. Devotees were just laughing by seeing me distributing. But it worked, so they were finally not complaining. But they were always telling me, can you stop this begging? You know? Because my attitude was always, and people just, you know, yeah, but how much do you want? You know, okay, and then, he always were disgusted with me, he always told me, can you stop this begging business? I don't know, I didn't program it, I didn't plan for this. And again, that's actually the wonderful thing, if you see actually a devotee, you know, becoming actually a Sangitani, you see how it comes out. It's somewhat a little bit crazy, but actually other people we are dealing with really sane, you know, yeah. Sometimes they say, you know, don't act so crazy. But you know, if you deal with such a crazy people, how do you want to be sane? I mean, the people on the street, would you really consider them to be sane? What they're doing, how they're running around, and the crazy ideas they have in their mind, you know? Yeah? And of course, we cannot, like I said, these kind of things, there's nothing to imitate. I'm actually, I don't want to get more in details, because this is nothing to imitate. But simply it shows that this comes, you know, secondary, the external, this is just, you know, but sometimes we also forget one thing, that Krishna has a humor. We think, God, it's a kind of Christian pollution, you know. Krishna is God, and he's old, and he's heavy, you know, and he's always observing us. And if we do something wrong, he's going to punish us, you know, and we are obedient, we go in Sankirtan, that's it. But actually, Krishna has a humor, and he has a great humor. I remember such a humor one gentleman, I met him on the street, German, that was a town. There are towns in Germany, people walk like this, you know. The nose is already like this on the side. And they go, don't need this. They don't even say hello, nothing. They just go, you know. And if you go like this for 2 hours, it's really a test for the fourth ego. So I remember I was just, you know, going like this half an hour, and then, I think, oh. And finally I met a really good one. He was a pretty young guy, and I was like, pfft. And exactly as he made, pfft. His shoe stuck, you know, in a somewhere in a street, and he was going all the way through, and his whole downpipe from the shoe was hanging like this. And he just, actually, he was amazing. He stopped and he looked immediately at me. And I was going, far out. Krishna is far out. And he was like, Paul. And then he just very humbly walked away with his shoe flopping around. Krishna again, that is very humorous. And I looked at the street. There was no hole in it. And I looked, they actually got rid of his shoe. There was no hole. There was no reason to rip off his shoe like this. But Krishna can do really sometimes heavy things to people. I remember Rohini Sutta, we were distributing one parking lot together. And you know, when the cars in the afternoon, they all drive out of the parking lot one after another, and people driving home, yeah. We were distributing there. And that happens quite often in Germany, that people just, you know, are there, and they like kind of drive out, and you stop them, you know, on a ceiling, and they roll down the window. And you go, hello, we're distributing these books for nice people here. So they just very often, they go just, you know, they go, it's for free. You know, this famous thing. I don't know if it happens to see him, but not so much, but Germany is quite common. And then they drive off, you know. Yeah. So that was one of these, you know. And I saw it just from near distance, how when he was giving the books, and the guy was saying, it's for free. And then he just stepped on the gas, and went, vroom! But he forgot that just, you know, a few meters further, there was the end of the line, which from the car that you're waiting to buy out of the parking lot. He was going just 2 meters away from this. You don't believe it, demolished the whole car and the back from the old car. And then the guy from the front car jumped out, you know, in Germany. And he was so tortured and so humbled on the spot. So while these two were battling, Rohini Sutta just went back and just picked up the book from the back seat again, you know, going, Hare Krishna, walked somewhere else. There are many things happening like that, you know, yeah. So Sankirtan is not a dead thing. You are there, and Krishna is there, and he's teaching you through each single being, and you can learn how he works. That's a wonderful way. So for Sankirtan devotees, there are two things. You read Srila Prabhupada's books, this is Gyan. You go out, and you get the Vigyan, the realized knowledge. That comes very easily to Sankirtan devotees. He sees how Krishna consciousness is actually functioning in action, practically. So therefore, these two things have to go simultaneously. We are just stuck on Gyan, on, you know, acquiring knowledge, but where to apply it, to whom to give it. Our lives become very, very dry. But if we are practicing it, putting it in practice, then actually it becomes tasty. Then we realize this is not just books written for, you know, just for satisfy our mind. This is very practical application. This is very practical. Srila Prabhupada wrote something very practical for us, actually. He was even, in the beginning, he was writing, you know, in the letter, he was writing, you know, 15th of October, Los Angeles camp. Yeah, in our camp, actually. And it was like, Srila Prabhupada comments in one purpose that actually our temples are like training places, like a training camp. Yeah, for preachers, for soldiers going out and battling with Maya. It's actually a battle. And then even temple becomes, that's the meaning of it, and becomes very meaningful, becomes very wonderful. Yeah, if that atmosphere is there, simply preparing ourselves to attract other conditioned souls, accommodate them, take care of them, Sankirtan devotees, then sometimes one may wonder, what is the problem? Sometimes you see there is a problem. The Sankirtan devotees are out there and they think, what are these guys doing there in the temple? No, what are they doing there? And sometimes the temple devotees to go, oh, now they are coming again on Sunday, these barbarians, you know, with their big boots, you know, with the suitcases, and they hang the, you know, the laundry all over the place, you know, this ecstasy. Actually, I joined in a place like this. It was a very, very small house. And I came the first day and they told me, tomorrow, the Sankirtan devotees are coming. So I didn't know anything. I was saying, what is a Sankirtan? You know, and they taught me, and you have to eat this. This is prasadam. And I also didn't know what this is. So, but I ate that, and then I was saying, this is sankirtan, devotee said, who is that? And the next day, you know, in the evening, boom, the door goes open, and these heavy guys coming in the suitcases, you know. And it was a very small place. But with that few minutes, they put the lines all over the place, and they hang the dhotis on it. And I sat there in the middle of millions of dhotis around me. And they had their own little beards, and you know, and like, you know, really, coming from the wilderness, I was saying, whoa. And then was, you know, the idea was that, yeah, this is a real man here coming. I was saying, wow. Then he started to speak to me. And immediately it was very easy to perceive. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Okay. Immediately it was very easy to perceive, actually, that there was something coming from them, something special. And it was quite natural. They draw me into that circle completely naturally. Because the whole attitude, of course, those times things were simple. It was just only Sankirtan, nothing else. So there was not so much to deviate from. Yeah. But even there, even as we are expanding, and as there are so many other projects, certainly the goal is to attract anybody to Krishna consciousness. And you know, inspired Sankirtan devotee, he comes to the temple, and there he sees a fired up cook, just cooking for the, you know, for giving people prasadam. Yeah, yeah. You will actually, someone is a real Sankirtan, he will naturally inspire. Oh, what are you doing? He goes, yeah, we cook just a feast, you know, and we go to a rock concert. We are going to give them prasadam far out. And he goes, yes, and you can come too and distribute your books. And there is immediately a very mutual, you know, understanding there. And association with devotees becomes so easy. Sometimes we are trying to be, you know, nice and social and, you know, and this and that, you know. But if we don't have the mission of a spiritual master as a basis, and it doesn't become transparent in our lives, then immediately so many misunderstandings are there. Actually, the whole goal of management and everything is simply to attract people. And if you are not doing that, then it's just a self-defeating purpose. Now, sometimes we have to be a bit patient. Like on the street, Sankirtan, if you want to achieve results, that goes pretty fast, usually. If you just get yourself more going, you work harder. Not always, but most of the time, Krishna is responding here mercifully. And you can distribute even more. It's just a question of sincerity and you go ahead. But in a preaching department as such, well, that requires a bit more patience. Sometimes you preach here and the result is coming completely in the opposite direction, somewhere else. Yeah? So that has to be, you know, that requires a bit more patience. But it's actually another version, or the same version of the same thing. Preaching, that's all. So Sankirtan devotee means a preacher. So for Sankirtan devotees and preachers, naturally they have a very mutual understanding. And it's very inspiring, you know, to have this association. Now if we base our life on this principle, become very, very happy people. And if we violate the principle and we try to, you know, call for some so-called security, you know, beyond preaching, yeah, then we get really in trouble. And as much we go in that illusion that there is a security beyond preaching, we are really going to get in trouble. And Krishna purposefully, we see even in this movement, devotees practically cannot succeed in that platform. Even they may be expert in this and that, but they cannot succeed to secure a material security for themselves. Krishna put some nice arrangement in it, like a time bomb. You go, finally, I achieved the goal. I have something which gives me shelter, and then blows up in front of your eyes. And you go, oh, okay, I will try another way. And again it blows up. This is Krishna's mercy. This is definitely Krishna's mercy. Unless we don't surrender the idea that actually we should all participate somewhat in preaching. Everybody. On any platform, it is possible. And then life and even management becomes very easy. That's one of the reasons why we can manage preaching place, you know, where everybody is preaching is very easy. But to manage a place where devotees are not preaching, at least not are fully absorbed, it's very difficult sometimes. Many problems, real problems, heavy problems, which cannot be actually finally solved because material problems are material problems. And then it could be solved by some material adjustment. It's not possible. So this faith that actually I just surrender to preaching, Krishna will take care of me. This is what makes us so happy in Sankirtan. I wouldn't like to prolong this too much since we don't have so much time. But maybe someone has one contribution. contribution. Which way? Sure. That's all right, but that's all right, but you should be careful on God that we don't become some materialistic salesman in that regard, or some, like I said, some stale, you know, some stale striving for some universal technique, how to sell the books. I don't think anybody in the history of Sangitan would ever really fire up on this. It comes down to the same platform. If you become impersonal and you hide behind some technique, I don't know, but the problem, so if I can, contribute, I don't know, but the problem is that devotees are losing faith. And that cannot be replaced by any technique. If you don't have the faith in the street, that this is Krishna's service, he gave me that service, and that's all, I should be satisfied with it, and I should try to please Krishna and spiritual master only. If you don't have that firm, simple faith, then no technique will help. Yeah, sure. I remember, that was me and Rani Sutta were fixing that program to get rid of Krishna books. We had a lager which was approximately the size of this temple room. It was full with Krishna books since years, because nobody wanted to see this book. Because, it was a big black book with big golden Krishna on it, And everybody was saying, this is not possible. They were distributing the books backwards, and forwards, and in a newspaper wrapped in or something, I don't know. Scared people will read it, Krishna. But somehow I remember such a fanatic situation that I was sleeping in that room. And we were always, it was like our room, we were sleeping in book, and it was just us two just emptying out that room for 1.5 years practically. Just looking how the books go down 1 year just into. And just fixing on that. And we just did it. First day I remember the first day I was also shaky like anything. And I was going, backwards the book, and with the fingers on the top. And then he turned it anyway around. And I was going, But they took it. I didn't tell them, this is about Krishna. But they just took it. Simply. That's how our book distribution started. I used to do 3 years LPs before I started to distribute the first book, actually. And then one day I remember, it was actually very nicely done. The temple president said, okay, so now we are going to distribute books only. Because Prabhupada wrote him, now you do only books. Now, nobody had the faith that this is going to work. But I remember we had these 3 pocket books, and we had some kind of paper, cassette. You could text them in, and it became like a 3 book, like a 1 sticker book. Having it packaged in a paper cassette. So we had this pile of these paper cassettes and pile of these little books, and the whole Sunday we were sitting and he was making kirtan and we were chanting and packaging these cassettes for the next week. And then we put them in a car and nobody knew how to distribute this. And still there was the idea that actually we should take this old LP and just give the LP first and a little bit the book behind. But he was so radical that he said no. And he makes sure he went in each single Sangitan, man, that there's no one thing LP left. No hiding around. And I remember we just drove off and I was saying, boy, let's try right away on the first gas station. So I have to fill up the car. I went on the highway, went to the gas station. And I just hold and I didn't know what to say. So I said actually almost the same thing like with the LP, practically the same thing. And the man took it immediately. I was going out, running out of the gas station. Hey, it works!
And we did actually almost the same thing.
Not very complicated. I'm not discouraging this straightforward book distribution. Somebody can do it, but if he's losing his enthusiasm on this, or he's getting bewildered or screwed up, I don't know why. Right, to assume something which we cannot handle, and you get frustrated and tasteless. Now, if someone is enthusiastic, he can say anything. He can say, this is about Supreme Personality of Godhead, written by Srila Prabhupada, and people will take it anyway, because he's enthusiastic. But I gave the example, I give you and him like an example, because this is a very clear example. You think people are taking books because of books? Do they speak to you? Maybe you think like this. I don't think like that. Or if I see him distributing, you think people take books because of books? Srimad Bhagavatam? Fantastic! I don't think, sometimes people really, they know and they appreciate. That's very rare. They feel books because they feel pleased by you and secure by him. That's all. They think this is the right person. Because otherwise, how is it possible another person, he takes the same book and they kick him in the nose? It's the same book. We cannot hide behind techniques or behind presentations. It's us. This is a presentation. And we cannot avoid that point. And that is the most painful point why people are leaving Sankirtana, don't want to do it. Because this is you standing there and Maya kicks you in the face. And you have to take it and you have to surrender to Krishna. You. No somebody else. No technique. You cannot hide around. You put up a poster, Sankirtana Ki Jai, and that will do it. It's not me. It's a Sankirtana Ki Jai. No, you. And this is a painful thing on Sankirtana. And every day you have to face it. It's me, Krishna and the Kamis. And we have to work it out here. And according to my surrender to Krishna, they are going to take it. If I'm non-surrendered fool, they will not take it. And every day you have to face your own impurities. Like you take me a mirror and you see this guy with his nose and ooh. And you have to work on it. You have to scrap the dirt down from the heart every day. It hurts. I remember the whole week sometimes. It was such a struggle. Really struggle. You speak about Sankirtana as a bliss. On the bottom line, I was blissful. But it was a very specific, a special kind of bliss. Externally, it wasn't actually bodily spoken. It was painful. And I was thinking, if I come back to temple, I am so tired. I will simply find a cool place and I will take a rest. And that will be it. It was my plan in the mind. And then on the way back to temple, we made a kirtan and it became more and more enthusiastic. I came to a temple. I was completely ecstatic, jumping in a kirtan. And then somewhere, next day, I remembered, actually I wanted to go to sleep. It was just blissful, that's all. This personal, confidential feeling, if you can provoke, in that situation, if you can create this vacuum bell, and he goes, and then he's there, the calm, oh, out, really? Oh, it's a very confidential thing. Then you give him the book, give the nation, you go, and you go to the next one. Now, if you are in Maya, you go, and they run here and there like ants. This is if you are in Maya. It's a spiritual thing. Now, I am expressing it with gross examples, but every Sankirtan everybody knows what I'm talking about. And this is what makes Sankirtan going. This personal confidence, it goes from eye to eye. You know what it means if you got him, and he is there, and you speak to him very nicely, and very, privately. He can give you anything. People love that. Actually, externally they would hate that. Like Stockholm specifically, that's like really the challenge, to go in this eel farm, they have the eels, You cannot hold them, they wait. That really, you feel after some time, I'm going to get an X and X. No, it doesn't work. They are so, you cannot hold them. They're like, And this is the challenge, to get him and finally to look in his eyes, and going, it's me, you. This requires a great deal of concentration and great deal of mercy, because only Krishna can actually do that. This is a basic thing on Sangita which you hit very well. That is a problem. Therefore, one has to always make the vow before one goes out. Today I'm going to be a person. And they are persons too, even though they want to have it. But we are going to deal it on that platform. I'm a person, they are persons, Krishna is a supreme person. So now, this we want to keep as a guideline for today. We are not going to move from that. And even the 2 hours they refuse to be persons, still you have to be consequent and go, no, we are a person here. It's a very personal thing. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. It's experience. Very often one can experience it. This is his customers. Anyway, okay. This is a personal thing. You know what they have on their mind. I remember I met one. What is that? Sometimes it happens spontaneously. You go inside and he's like, "Good morning, Mr. Professor." And he goes, "How do you know I'm a professor?" We know it. Yoga. To learn yoga, you give him a book and he's happy. Actually, being under Krishna's care is such a really wonderful thing. You say things you never said before. You do things you never did before. But if you don't want to make it emotional like that, it's not cheap. It's a way to go there. But it's possible. It's possible for every devotee to get under Krishna's control on Sankirtan. And once you are, we call it always a good stream, You are in a good stream. Or you are under Krishna's control, suddenly it's very, suddenly it goes very harmonious. And as soon as the false ego enters, you are puffed up, then you get into the bad stream, Whenever it's in his heart, like anything. Huh? Sure. Really fast, condensed.
So what is making that difference?
Sincerity. That's all. Someone is very sincere. He can take his lessons every day. He's determined. He is determined to go all the way down, to dig it all out, empty it all out. And then very lightly and empty-handed go back home, back to Gaurav. You cannot go with these piles of coal, in a Vaikuntha. It's not possible. They don't have it there. They have only Chintamani. So it's difficult. Huh? I know. So. Attitude.
Yeah.
In the old days, he always instructed us like this, that, you know, in the beginning stage, this mantra and this simple stuff is absolutely necessary because people don't even want to say nothing. But usually it comes quite naturally to some time. You don't pay so much attention to what you are saying there, but you are more sincere about the how you are saying it and about the purpose. The motivation, the attitude is becoming more clarified. In the beginning, people have to say something. And it's also good if they say something which works, because, you know, then they get some taste, because you need some result, too. You can't be just pure without a result. Purely non-result sankirtan. This doesn't actually exist, it's a concoction. You will automatically go straight if you have that. You can. But, you know, maybe I am not the ideal person to preach about this because I never really distributed in the Scandinavian countries where you can do this kind of things. Now, I grew up more in Germany and it was out of question to do such a thing. If you would say, Hare Krishna, they just grab you and drag you to the police. There were many years distributing like that. You know, people were, you know, there was a time in Germany where they would know you are Hare Krishna and five people hold you immediately and push you to the ground and they call the police. That was a general attitude in Germany. Yeah. So by those times we did practically anything to distribute these books. But this is maybe a specific, you know, this is another circumstance. Basically, if you say something which makes people disgusted on the spot and they don't take the book, then why should you say this? Just to be straightforward. Then you are making a straightforward foolishness, that's all. Why not say things in a palatable way? You know, you don't have to talk about hungry children in India. Fortunately, that mantra we dumped, you know, many years ago. That was really bogus. Yeah, it was really bogus. That's not necessary. But you can tell people simple things. And if you lose your personalism on the street, then you can tell anything and they will not take anything. No problem. So therefore, I think that point is more relevant. Sometimes people is really, you know, tune into the techniques and into how and, you know, and but for whom and the attitude, that's what counts. Yeah? Talk to them too long, maybe, isn't it? Because if they are nice, you start to talk to them, isn't it? More, longer. It's usually what happens. If you see a kami is nice, then you start to talk to him, nice, and nice, and now he becomes so nice, and at the end he doesn't take the book anyway. Yeah, this is entangling. But they are different places. I remember we had a different, completely different stages, you know, in Germany. We went, first of all, Sankirtan started in the shopping streets. That was like the... In Germany they have so many of these. Tons of shopping streets, tons of people everywhere. So it was Sankirtan. Just you go out and the whole day, you know, just bam, 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 no lack of people. But then we became more and more really kind of tired. I was just became more and more heavy and edgy and passionate. And, you know, and me as a new devotee, I was really suffering on this German shopping streets, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you feel like, you know, swimming in a stream, you know, and you have a hard time to stay on top. If you are not, you know, and then you just go under. They roll over you, they step on you, and they go and go and go. They just, you know, what to speak of stopping somebody. I remember we sometimes had to apply incredible techniques just to stop people. You know, you like you throw yourself in front of them, just, you know, just boom. Then they go. Then you jump up and hello. Yeah, it's just anything, just to. You know, this sounds bizarre, but it's people crazy. Then we make a switch. We went just to the really countryside hills, small villages like that. Remember, for me as a new devotee, it was an incredible experience. Actually, I did more in these small things, like in the shopping street, as a new devotee. Because I was saying, wow. We went in a village, there was just, you know, a few people walking around, and I asked the Sankirtan leader, where should I distribute? He said, to everybody, everywhere, let's go now, you know. And I was this idea just to penetrate that village, you know. And then there was some grandmother looking out of the window, first floor, you know, in a house. There was nobody there. It was just hair. So you were running down the street. Hello! Come down! You know, and she was, what is this? You know, it's come down. I have something for you. And then she went down the stairs, you know, and then you gave her a book. And then you ran across the street and there was a car coming and you were going, you know, and then the guy stopped and you gave him a book too. It was such a sankirtan. I never experienced this before. It was so simple and it was so blissful, you know. And we are not distributing in that many hours. Yeah. And I did more like in a shopping street for sure. It was like, you know, it was different. They're different tastes. I was 1.5 years just in shops. Just doing shops. In small villages, shop to shop. That was also another way to do it. There are different ways, depends. But generally, again, the desire is important. I depend on circumstance so much. I don't know if this is such a it's difficult to answer in detail such a question, but generally it depends on enthusiasm, that's all. And not limited vision. If you are a trainer from the shopping street, they come like bullets in your face and you go bum 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 bum. And then suddenly there's an empty space and you don't know what to do. This is some kind of brainwashing. You have to be a little bit variable and understand that, yeah, they are still there. Those times we used to give lectures where we always explained that if the devotee is fired up, he can distribute even in the middle of the airport as the helicopter is coming down. You know, if he is fired up, Krishna can send that helicopter exactly in the spot where he is standing and the guy is going to buy a book. Yeah? So, that depends all on desire. If a devotee is in Maya, he can be in the middle of the shopping street, in the middle of the people, he will distribute nothing. And if a devotee is fired up, he can be in an empty village and he will distribute 150 books a day. You don't even know where they are. And in Sweden, Swedes got some really good taste on this. They go to a place. I wasn't traveling in Sweden. I got really... Especially if you don't speak Swedish. You are there, you know, in the middle of the then only 2 grandmothers coming a day. And then you go, Inger Pratos, Inger Pratos, English, come on. And you go, But it's possible. Any place, depends on enthusiasm. Some other point? Huh?
He was used to come up with the news and stuff. Yet a book.
I gave it a book because it didn't understand anything. And then all of a sudden, it's all right. Then, right? I take it. Then it took off the book. And then a lot of money. He started to take 100. Take 100. And he gave it 400. But the 600 was my expected. He's died. 100. Gone. But I choose it. It's 100. I want to give you 5 or so. They gave me 5. And then I said, well, then you can take these 2 books. I don't read. I never read books. And then took that 1 book. And fall back again. To bring some of them. And then no more to do this.
So again, it's like, you can see, devotee actually is nothing else as a postman. He's just delivering the post for those that deserve it. And Krishna is just engaging, that's all. Therefore, sometimes you think, I always give the example in Yadavok, you know, that that one lady, when Maharaji was distributing, you know, the whole marathon, she was suffering like anything. You know, one day she, you know, didn't distribute anything, the whole day, nothing, you know. You know what it means, run the whole day, you know, and she was distributing and crying simultaneously. Sometimes they are very expert to do that. You know, they go, you know, they know how to do it. Anyway, so, you know, and at the end, suddenly, while she was, you know, almost losing the line, suddenly someone came and held on that Gita as she was, you know, like putting it out. She hardly noticed that somebody is even there. And he, like, hold that Gita book, took it, and gave her the money. It was the only Gita she distributed, and from that one devotee came. Lokatma, Hare Krishna Center. He came from that. So one should never lose faith, actually, that it's possible. And even one book distributed at that particular day, who knows where that book will go?
I think you have something to say, huh?
Okay, we are anyway late, so. Okay. I think there's some more announcement here.